Shocker, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Oh, outstanding.
I got a grievance.
Oh, excellent.
Well, it's Christmas, right? People know that Christmas is coming up, right? People who own and run stores know that Christmas is coming up. So why not staff your store in a way that allows to handle for the extra Christmas traffic? Drives me insane. Like, I won't say what store because, whatever. You never know who sponsors who. But when you got to stand around for 25 minutes just to get a certain size in something like, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. People just standing around looking at each other waiting for help.
Uh-huh. I'm surprised because I know where you shop. I'm surprised the Love Boutique didn't have things stocked up today. Like, I know you're searching out a teddy. I get it. I get it. Break the surprise, Randy. And sorry about that, but.
Well, I know. It's just frustrating. It's like, man, like, did nobody inform the manager that it was 2 days before Christmas and that perhaps you might want to stock up on floor help?
Well, I'm surprised that when you walked in the store, they were like, it's Ryan Rashad. You know, like, and everybody just gravitated towards you. You're probably wearing a hat or something today.
No, I'm not Gene Principe. Gene Principe, literally, I mean, people just let him cut right to the front of line.
That's true, actually.
Like, he hasn't had to wait in a line in this city in a decade. But not me. No, not me. I mean, I'm back in the line. Nobody was around to help. It's, we're just before Christmas. It's kind of baffling.
I love it. Hey, that's a... You're right into the thing. That's a good grievance. Sure. I like that. No problem. Mm-hmm. Too bad they didn't have a pole because you would have like a feats of strength. You could have wrestled the manager. That'd be awesome.
No, wouldn't have been. Then I'd have ended up in traction of some sort with a bad back and unable to go do my job at World Juniors.
Yeah, but it'd still be worthwhile though. You were frustrated enough that you might have thought about it.
Yeah, well, my first thought wasn't if I find the manager, I want to wrestle him. That's not. Probably would have polite. I'm polite about it when I complain, but I'm not afraid to say like, hey, you know what? Might have been a nice idea to have just a few more people on the floor today because I'm polite, but I will air my grievance to a manager.
Okay, I love it. Would you air a grievance to the Oilers? What do you think of Scrivens for the fifth straight start after giving up? Now I know it wasn't necessarily his fault. He faced 40 shots again. But are you surprised? And do you think it's just a coincidence that Victor Faust has not played since he ripped his teammates?
Well, he didn't rip his teammates. He was encouraging him, remember?
Yeah, true. Sure, I love it.
No, I would say it's not a surprise that he hasn't played since then. I would say of the two, they're giving Ben the opportunity to grab some sort of control of the starting job. He's getting more starts. He's getting longer looks. I think that they want to see what they have and give it a little bit more time and flesh it out a little bit more. It's pretty obvious who they want to give the bulk of the starts to and the opportunity to. So that's the way it's going now, and I don't expect that to stop necessarily. I think you'll see Scrivens get a large chunk of the starts.
Think that's the right decision?
Well, the alternating disaster didn't work very good, where you give it to one guy and see what he can do and give it to the other guy and see what he can do. I mean, that obviously that didn't go great. So, I mean, I think that now they have, correct me if I'm wrong, but they have Ben on, he's got one more year after this year, does he not?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Victor is up at the end of the year.
He is. Right? He's a pending UFA.
Pending UFA, yeah. So, I mean, they've got another year with Scrivens. Victor will most likely be moving on. So I think they maybe just want to give Ben the opportunity to grab this thing and to keep going to him.
The Edmonton Oilers, here, the one thing I don't understand, and I talked about this off the top of the show, I think one of the number one jobs you have to do is put players in positions to succeed, and you need to protect your players at times. And so tonight, once again, Draisaitl's playing with Pitlick and Yakupov. So nail Yakupov is like the veteran conscience on that line when you look at NHL games played. And, you know, it's not a shot on Yakupov. He's not ready to accept that, you know, those responsibilities. He's just not there yet in his development. Like, I'm really perplexed why you still have Boyd Gordon. Now, I understand maybe they want one shutdown line. That's McTavish. He's going to say, I need a veteran line and Perron, Gordon, and Eberle that I can match up against whoever I want. And maybe it's at home. To me, it's not making any sense.
Well, is it just me or is he kind of going pairings a little bit here? Like, he's got Hall and Nugent Hopkins as a pairing, and then he's got Perron and Eberle as a pairing. And then, I don't know if it kind of maybe stops there a little bit, but as far as his his four skilled positions there. I don't like it either. I mean, Yakupov and Draisaitl together is just not, it's not a great fit. I mean, they're both players who need to be playing with veterans that can help polish up the corners and the rough spots in their game. So it's not ideal, man. It's really, really not. But it's robbing from Peter to pay Paul. So you want to put together a good shutdown line? Well, now you've left yourself exposed with a youngster line that isn't, you know, is very, very likely to get exposed. And how are they going to be used? Are they going to be used like a fourth line tonight? Are they going to get 9, 10, 11, 12 minutes, or are they going to be a 15 or 16-minute line? So it kind of sets up like they'll be used almost like a fourth line. So we'll have to wait and see, but the experiment continues with Draisaitl, and they're not giving him his best opportunity by putting him with people who allow him to make rookie mistakes. They're putting him with people who are making those kinds of mistakes as well, and it makes the line really tough to tap in a close game or past the second period.
Ryan Rashog joins us. The Arizona Coyotes, Shogger, I was crunching the numbers. You take away their four wins against Edmonton. So Edmonton and Arizona have played 30 and 29 games respectively against the rest of the NHL. They each have seven. Edmonton actually has a better record against the rest of the league than Arizona does. Now, Arizona, of course, has been able to get eight points. Edmonton's got one of eight in those games. Edmonton, as bad as they've played, one win in 19. They win tonight. They're only 3 points behind Arizona. Do you honestly think they can hold off Arizona and Carolina and finish 30th?
Well, and that's the fundamental flaw in letting it slide for Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel. That's the problem here, buddy, is that, I mean, as horrendous as the Oilers have been this year, if you compare their lineup to Arizona's, over the next 45 games, they shouldn't be as bad as Arizona. Not when you look at what those two lineups have. You compare their lineup to Carolina, they shouldn't be as bad as Carolina. Not when you look at what their lineups have. So it doesn't really make sense for the Oilers to get into a losing contest with these two teams when really the Oilers are probably the best of the three teams. And I don't think anybody would be shocked, absolutely shocked, if the Oilers at least went on a, you know, won a third of their games the rest of the way. These other two teams aren't as good as Edmonton. Edmonton's not playing better, but the Oilers are a more skilled, better team than both of those other squads, in my opinion. Don't you think?
Well, here's the thing about Carolina. I honestly think with getting the two Staal brothers back, I think that will that's going to increase them. Edmonton really hasn't had any injuries, right? Other than Taylor Hall for a brief time. They're near the bottom when it comes to a man's game loss due to injury. I think Carolina, you get the Staal brothers back, that's going to improve that team. Now, Arizona, I don't see any miracle coming there. But, yeah, Edmonton right now probably could technically maybe be better, but not by much because I don't really see an area where they're naturally better. They don't have better defense, right?
No, they don't have better defense. They probably have better forwards, more skill up front. Arizona's got no skill.
But not finishing skill right now. More paper skill, but not finishing skill.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the Coyotes don't have anyone in their lineup that's even, 60-point threat? Do they have anyone who's, Yandel is leading their team in points, a defenseman at 22 points in 33 games. The Oilers, at least they have, who on paper, they have a number of players who could be a 60-point threat. So to me, the Oilers are, and goaltending would normally go to Arizona big time, but their starter has been terrible all year. And so until Devan Dubnyk grabs it firmly and actually plays well for a while, they don't really have a huge advantage in net. So I think the Oilers are a more skilled team, but they're not playing very well. So I just think it's dangerous, right? It's dangerous to just let it fall for the sake of letting it fall and turn a blind eye towards any opportunity to make your team better because you want one of those two picks.
Well, here's the thing about the M2, and I've said this, Ryan, because people are texting in, because I don't think you can tank on purpose. I'm honestly not sure how much the Oilers really can improve. Right now I see three teams that are going to be 28th, 29th, and 30th. Now we can decide and we can debate in which order they will finish, but the Edmonton Oilers to catch up to the other, to catch up even to Buffalo is a pretty big step. You know, they're 8 points behind them already. That's a lot to make up. They're already 11 behind Colorado. There's no one else in the West they're going to catch, right? So,
do you think they'll be on this kind of a clip for a big chunk of the rest of the year?
Well, not you're not going to win 1-19, but
well, but even close. Like, do you think they're going to win 3 out of 10 games for the rest of the year? I mean, is it going to be that bad for the rest of this entire season? Or is this just some really, really bad rut that a bad team is in? But how can they possibly even stay this bad for the rest of the year? Like, they're going to pull out of it a little bit, aren't they?
Well, they're not even at 3 wins in every 10 games. That's the
scary. What I'm saying is,
like, they might move up to 4 out of 10. Sure, maybe.
You know what I mean? Like, playing 33% hockey or 40% hockey or whatever. I mean, it's so hard to gauge because it is so bad right now. There's no way they can stay this bad for the rest of the entire season, can they?
Not in this pace. This would almost be record-breaking at the way they're going.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I don't
they got to get a win for Todd Nelson at some point here. I mean, never mind the odd overtime point. I mean, they've got to figure out a way to – they got two new coaches, the GM sitting behind the bench, throwing up 3-goal leads, and there's no moral victories at this point for this team, man. This is just it's embarrassing, and it's a big, ugly hole, and man, oh, man, is it ugly.
Are they going to win tonight?
I don't know. No.
No.
I'm going to say no. Why would you say yes? Why would anybody say yes?
Okay.
I mean, here's what we know. They're getting off to better starts, right? So that's a good thing. Their power play scored last game, I think. Didn't they? Wasn't that the first goal of the game was a power play goal?
Mm-hmm.
The Taylor Hall. So their power play scored a goal last game. So those are better things. Yeah, kind of a couple of their offensive guys got off the schneid a little bit, so those are good things. But I don't have any reason to think that no matter what happens tonight, they aren't going to find a way to shoot themselves in the foot. I have no reason to believe that they're not going to do that. So, no, I'm not going to call an Oilers win until they give me a reason to call an Oilers win. And so, no, they're not going to win tonight.
Jogger, I love it. By the way, did you end up getting what you needed when you were shopping at the Slow Store?
Eventually, but I had to have somebody from another section of the store come over and help out. They were clueless because it's not their section. So it ended up taking 3 times longer than it needed to. And it's just,
Now
whatever.
You never got to the point though, where you, somebody else grabbed for the same thing and then you found yourself raining blows upon them. Nothing like that.
No, that's another pet peeve of mine. I hate that people, Christmas shoppers, are grumpy and mean to each other. I'm a very nice, cordial Christmas shopper. Let other people go in front of me in line. Like, I'm good. I'm decent. I think we all need to be nice to each other in this stressful time that we're supposed to be enjoying. But, you know, stores, like, just put enough staff on that you can service the people who are standing there with their credit card, waving it around the air, saying, I want to give you money if I could just find a spot in line.
Shogger, why don't you get some eggnog and rum?
Yeah.
And wrap your present.
All right.
Have yourself a great Christmas. We will talk to you from the World Juniors next week.
Yeah, when are we back? When are we back on the show?
Next Monday. We get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off.
So I will be in Montreal fully immersed in Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel, and this is going to be a wicked tournament, man. There are some really good young players in this tournament that fans will want to keep a close eye on. It's going to be fantastic.
You betcha, man. Enjoy it. Merry Christmas.
Okay, buddy. You too.